class number three. So this week, I brought the source books because we're going to start using the source books. I know we had source sheets the first 2 weeks. We didn't really use them much. But I didn't really feel I had to use them much because I figured you probably don't believe me anyway, so the sources aren't going to help much. But this week, I'm going to try to start proving what I've been telling you. And for that, I always find it's better to have proof. It's better for you to see the sources inside because, again, over the next couple of weeks, we'll develop a theory that I think is very, very well-founded. So well-founded, you're going to go, come on, why didn't I ever hear that before? So that's why I'm going to try to use the stuff inside. Again, don't get scared off by that. I'm going to translate everything we do. But I want to make sure to have the sources ready for today. Baruch atah Adonai Melech haolam shehakol nehiyah bedvaro. What did we say so far? We said that there are three different ways that we can approach Hashem, none of which are really true, right? All of which don't really hit the mark, but better a little off than not at all, right? There are different ways that we think of God. There are different ways that He asks us to think of Him. When we say Avinu Malkeinu, which we said many times last week, we don't really mean that He's our Father, and we don't really mean that He's our King, in the sense that He's not really a dad, and he's not a king with a robe and a crown and all this and that. But we said that those are ways to relate to Him. I'll pull that up so you get a friend there in a few minutes. I don't know, he left out in left field. Okay? So those aren't real, right? He's not really a king. He's not really a father. But those are three ways that we can use to get to Him. Right? And we pointed out that those three ways seem to be what underlie the three first brachos of Shemona Esrei. We asked, why are there three? It's this introductory package. So why give us three brachos? Why not one bracha of praise before we start the Shemona Esrei? We suggested maybe because there are three different ways of relating to Him. The first bracha in Shemona Esrei, which is very long, starts off with our relationship with Him and the relationship with our fathers. And yes, He is a Koneh HaKol, but He does a lot of chesed too. This is a great deal. He is in charge of everything, but we know Him and He knows us. And He's going to come to save us, if not for our own merit, at least for the merit of our forefathers. That's good. That's a really good bracha. That, we said, is treating Him something like a father. Someone who has all the power and yet wants to give it to us. We pointed out that that has to change the way we think of davening a little bit. Right? We always think of our tefillos as something we just kind of throw up there and maybe He'll listen. But if He's our father, then we might have to daven with a little bit of a different tone or with different expectations. Take a source book. Okay? That was number one. The second way of looking at God, perhaps. Okay, now you're in charge of source books, actually. Okay? Anybody that walks in, hit him with a source book. No, good. Even better. No, now you're in charge now. So the second way of relating to God, the second bracha, seems to describe Him as very, very powerful, gevuros. We don't really get a hint there of our special relationship to Him. We just talk about how powerful He is and how much He does. That's more like a melech. He's in charge of everything. He's involved in our day-to-day. We need Him for everything. He's got all the power, but we don't necessarily have so much of an in. The third way of looking at Him was a Kel HaKadosh, this powerful but just distant kind of a force. It's such a short bracha, we suggested, because we don't know what to say, except that He's Kadosh, which means nothing. Kadosh doesn't mean anything. Kadosh just means what He's not. He's separate. He's different from everything that's here in this world. And we pointed out again that depending on how I relate to Him, I think I would daven Shemona Esrei a little differently if I was taking it for real. If I really felt like I was talking to something or someone or however we're going to phrase it, depending on how I view Him, depending on which avenue I use, I might daven a different kind of Shemona Esrei. And that has nothing to do with knowing any of the words or anything like that. Just some idea of who I'm standing before and what it is that's going on. Okay? The last thing we said is, so how do I pick? How do I know what to do? Okay, I agree, maybe there are different ways to relate to God. The titles you gave him and the things are a little hokey to me still, but I could hear that maybe we should take this more seriously. But how do I know what to do? So the first step we said was go with what you feel. At least go with what you feel. We all relate to God at different times of our lives in different ways. Sometimes we feel he's closer, sometimes we feel he's more distant. Go with that. Realize that those are parts of the relationship that I have with Hashem. And that's where we left it. This week I'd like to suggest that perhaps there is something more, something which will give us perhaps a little bit of a lead as to how to relate to him, and something which will begin, hopefully, to prove that these ideas really are very founded in texts. So let's open to page 3 in the source book. The first source, in the top right, is an excerpt from a very famous piece in the Babylonian Talmud. Of course, as you might know, there are two Talmuds. Okay, there's the old version and the new version. Around the year 200, the Mishnah was written. And in the 300 years that followed the editing of the Mishnah, the putting together of the Mishnah, the rabbis worked to put together a more expansive view, a more expansive text of the Oral Torah. It went on in two places, in Israel and in Bavel. The Israeli version was finished first, kind of a strange bit of Israeli efficiency. The Israeli version got finished first in about the year 350, 150 years later, and that became the Talmud Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud. 150 years later, the Babylonian Talmud was finished, about the year 500. And generally, the Babylonian Talmud, you hear the Gemara, it means the Babylonian Talmud. We generally go with the later text. They had an extra 150 years to edit it before they put it out. So it's more authoritative, it represents more of the halachic decisions, and to be honest, it's a little easier to read. The Babylonian Talmud is in like yeshivish Aramaic, if there's such a thing. It's not the kind of beautiful Aramaic that you'll see, let's say, in Targum Onkelos. Or you'll see in the Jerusalem Talmud. The Jerusalem Talmud is much more difficult to crack just to read it. Certainly not a good place for someone who wanted to learn Talmud to start. We're used to the Babylonian Talmud. That's where we're going to start, but we're going to go in a minute to the Jerusalem Talmud. There's a famous disagreement in the Babylonian Talmud. Where did we get three tefillos from? Right? Famous discussion in the Gemara and Brachos. Where did we get three tefillos from? Itmar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Omar. One opinion says tefillos avos tiknun. One opinion says that the three tefillos were established by the avos. And as the Gemara, which we'll go through in gory detail, every inch of it, we'll see, describes, of course, three avos. Each one developed their own tefillah. Avram was the shachris man, and Yitzchak was the mincha man. And Yaakov was the Ma'ariv man. For those who don't like sitting in shul so long, it's a good thing there weren't too many more avos. Seems like everybody made it a little more complicated, a little more. Those are the three avos. The avos did it. And that, of course, means that the avos themselves came up with at least the ideas behind davening, at least the times of day. I don't think it means that the avos wrote the words themselves that we say today. But basically, the avos decided on this three times a day thing. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi Omer, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, no, tefillos keneged to me din tikkun. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, is it just a coincidence that there happens to be a korban in the morning and a korban in the afternoon? There was one group korban, a korban tamid. One brought every single morning, one brought every single afternoon, and the remnants of those korbanos brought every single night. And if you notice, the times of the davenings are very similar to the times of the Karbanos. Says Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, come on. They were established to correspond to the Karbanos. The tefillos were established to correspond to the sacrifices. Those are the two opinions which we will look at. That will take up most of what we'll do for two semesters. Those two very interesting opinions. But put that on hold for a moment. There's another opinion in the Jerusalem Talmud. The Jerusalem Talmud says, Me'ikan, that was on real Aramaic, Me'ikan lamdu shalosh tefilos. From where did they learn three tefilos? Where did we get this from? Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani amar, keneged gimel pa'amim shehayom mishtaneh al habriot. This is an opinion not mentioned in the Babylonian Talmud. Why do we have three davenings? Because the day changes on people. The sky changes three times. B'shachar, in the morning, tzarich adam lomar, modeh ani lefanech Hashem elokai velokai avosai, shehot seisani me'afela la'orim. Person's got to get up. Got to look out the window. The birds are chirping. The sun has risen. Right, you get to wake. Hopefully, some of you get to wake up at that hour. And you say, "Ah, not moda ani lefanecha shechazarti b'nishmasi." That's something else. But moda ani lefanecha that you brought me from darkness to light. Okay, just grab a source book. You know, you got to do your job. Right. Thank you for bringing me from darkness to light. Okay, wow. Look at that. I went to sleep. It was dark. The world was coming to an end, so to speak. And now I get up in the morning and everything is wonderful and the world has reawakened. That's one time when I have to daven to Hashem. B'mincha tzarich adam lomar. At mincha time, a person has to say, Moda ani lefanecha Hashem elokai velokei avosai, k'shem shezichisani leros hachama b'mizrach, kach pizkeni leros b'ma'arav. At mincha time, in the middle of the day, the sun is moving, it sets in the west. A person is supposed to say, just like I saw the sun in the eastern side of the sky, let me see it in the western side. Let me continue to see it as it moves through the western side of the sky also. Now, the sun is really out all day, of course. Well, on some days, right? The sun is moving and it's up there all day. But there is, of course, in the afternoon, a marked difference. If you're not terribly good at using a sundial, and you're not that used to being without a watch, you still should be able to tell me, if you have a compass, whether it's morning or it's afternoon. Right? When the sun has moved past that midpoint, and not only past that midpoint, but, you know, some distance past the midpoint, you know you're in a different time of the day. You may not know if it's 9 or 10 in the morning or this and that, but if you know your east and your west, you know whether it's 10 or it's 2. The sun has changed again. That has to get us to say to God, just as we had a fine morning with the sun, so give me a fine afternoon. 2. Be'erev tzarich lomar, in the night you have to say, Yehi ratzon lofanecha. You have to say, may it be your will. Hashem elokai velokei avosai. Kishem shahayisi ba'afela v'hotseisani la'ora. Just like last night I was in afela, I was in darkness, and you brought me to morning. Kach totziani me'afela la'ora. So too tonight, take me from darkness to light in the morning. Okay. The Mabit was an early commentator. The Mabit says that it was actually through these changes in the sky that the Avos came up with their idea for the tefillos. This Yerushalmi is actually a precursor to anything in the Bavli. Where in the world did Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov get the idea that, well, now's the time for another tefillah? Because there are three different time zones. You see, there's no midnight. There's really no good way. You don't really know whether it's 10 at night or it's 2 in the morning. There are three time zones. There's the whole night, there's morning, and there's afternoon. And based on those three times, that's where we got three tefillos, so says the Jerusalem Talmud. What does one thing have to do with the other? Let's take a simple approach and then a much more difficult approach. The simple approach is as follows. The Midrash tells us that Avram Avinu came to figure out there's a God by looking at the sky. He got up one day, he was in an inquisitive kind of mood, little Avramel. And Avi gets up and he says, ah, look at that, the sun. The sun is all the way up there. It's bigger than anything else. The sun must be God. Looks, it's big, warms us up. Big ball in the sky, that must be God. Lo and behold, that evening, the sun goes down and he sees the moon. So Avram Avinu says, wait a minute. Obviously the sun's not God. God doesn't move away for anybody. The moon must be God. The moon must have given the sun a little bit of a time in the sun, so whatever, time in the spotlight. And now must be the moon, for sure. For sure the moon is God. That's how he pushed the sun away. And then he obviously got up the next morning and said, obviously neither of them are God, but something is moving both of them. Nature is an opportunity to praise Hashem. When things change, actually, whether it's in nature or whether it's in our lives, when things change, it's an opportunity to notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the center of the day, we tend to forget God. It's when we get up and when the sun sets, there's something about those experiences that make us feel like we've touched Hashem. Right? If you've ever seen a sunrise, ever seen a sunset, there's something about those times of day. We don't know what it is. It touches a chord inside of us that makes us notice God. You see, the sun is moving at the same... Well, actually, the sun is actually not moving. I always say that. But the sun appears to be moving at the same rate all day. Obviously, we're moving. But the sun appears to be moving at the same rate all day. But we don't notice it in the middle of the day. Right? We don't notice the difference between 9 and 10 o'clock. But we notice the difference between 5:30 and 6:30 on an equinox very much. Right? The sun sets at 6. We notice that exactly. Yeah.
If we would naturally remember Hashem, chakra time is the time, our time, then wouldn't it be more effective to have a tefillah in the center of the day when we tend to forget that?
Well, the point is that God is kind of telling us now's a good time. He's trying to use nature, perhaps, to get us to see Him. Right? And that's fine. Part of the changing of nature is so we can notice God's hand. If nature always stayed the same, we wouldn't notice it. If you think about it, the times of day is actually a pretty big gift. Because if you think about it, let's say in New York at least, the seasons pretty closely mimic the days. Right? There's fall, which is kind of like sunset, and then the darkness of winter, and then spring, and then summer, right? If you think about it, the two are very, very similar, but if you'd have to wait every 3 months to notice God, it wouldn't be that effective. But what God did was, he kind of poked his hand out every couple of hours and said, hello, obviously something's here. Your whole world is changing around you. It's especially significant because the Gemara tells us that the Goyim, of course, the early idol worshippers, took those very things that we were supposed to use to see God and used it for Avodah Zarah. Gemara tells us that there's a specific time when God gets really angry. I don't know exactly what that means, but we know that Bilam, right, was shooting for that moment. He knew that if he could get a curse in at that moment, the Jewish people might be doomed. When is God really angry, asks the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Well, you know when they're really angry? When the kings wake up in the morning and they bow towards the sun. The sun, which is that which is supposed to get us to see God, God did us this big favor. He tries to keep a balance between being right in our faces and disappearing altogether. We need to have some free choice. But he did us this big favor. He made nature move every day so we kind of notice him. And unbelievably, that's exactly what the Avodah Zarah used to worship. They turned to the sun. That's, of course, the famous scene on Sukkot in the Beis HaMikdash. Sukkot in the Beis HaMikdash, every night they had an all-night party, right? The Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And the party literally went all night until the water drawing in the morning. They were celebrating something that was going to happen in the next morning. And everyone would be in the Beis HaMikdash at sunrise. And the sun rises in the east, and then, of course, they would be in the Beis HaMikdash, they'd be facing the west. And when the sun would rise, everyone would turn their backs away from the sun. And they would say, our ancestors might have worshipped that, but our eyes are only to you. Right? Nature is this thing that can go either way. It's like a fire. It can be used for the positive, it can be used for the negative. The stars, the heavens, especially the sun and the moon, which was given to us by God to find him, to notice him, was used by others specifically to ignore him. A person who davens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, turns nature into a kli, into a vessel for finding God. That could very well be, by the way, why Shacharis is so long. Why is Shacharis so filled with praise? What makes Shacharis so long? Pesukei Dezimra, right? The brachas of Kriyat Shema are not so much longer. It's Kriyat Shema and it's Shmona Esrei. What really makes Shacharis meaty? Why do you have to be there for so long? Because of songs of praise. What are we praising? God's hand in nature. That's what Pesukei Dezimra is primarily about. Even the long first bracha of the Shema, which ends in Yotzer HaMa'oros, is also about nature. Why is it that Shacharis is so filled with nature? Because that's when we notice nature again. We get up in the morning, and hopefully we once again are amazed by all the things outside. So nature is supposed to be something we're supposed to use to find God. That could be what the Gemara is telling us. That could be why there's three tefillos a day. Because we're supposed to take God's lead. We're supposed to see his hand in nature, and three times a day we're supposed to just like burst forth and say, oh, I forgot you were there. Now I see again. So let me say a prayer to you. But there may be another way to understand this as well. Not simply that we have to uncover Hashem in the changing from light to darkness, but, and you'll have to hold with me here for a second, this is far more difficult, that the light and the darkness might themselves represent the way God is relating to the world at a given time. Again, not that light and darkness just happen to be there. That God randomly shakes up nature over a 24-hour period. Right? That God randomly chose light and darkness as a difference. And the point is just to make something different so we'd wake up. No, perhaps there's a reason why it's light during the day and it's dark at night. Because maybe God is trying to tell us something even more than just the fact that he's there. But he's trying to tell us something about how we're supposed to understand him at a different time of the day. So let me explain what I mean. These are all things that we know and accept, and then we'll take it to stuff you haven't heard sort of. We all perceive of Hashem, A, as relating to the world in different ways. Right? We kind of got that. Right? Sometimes God seems to relate to the world in one way. Sometimes he relates to his people in one way. Sometimes he relates to them in the other way. In his wisdom, he has set times when he'll deal with us in certain ways. In other words, let's say we know that we've all heard this, right? There's Hashem and there's Elohim. There's the Midat Hadin and the Midat HaRachamim. Sometimes God acts mercifully, sometimes he acts in a strict judging kind of way. What God did is rather than constantly flip between the two, he gave us a sense that I'm going to act like this for a while. And again, I say those words cautiously because we don't really understand what it means. But God seems to want us to think of him in a certain way for a little bit of a time period. Not just one second is Midas HaRachamim and the next second is Midas HaDin. That's because he wants us to relate to him. There's nothing really more annoying in a good friend or in a spouse, perhaps, not that I would know, than a really moody person. A really moody person you just don't know what to do with. You know? It's a good thing in a spouse. They want to be in a good mood, they want to be in a bad mood. That's fine. Everybody's allowed to be in a bad mood sometimes. But the least that we ask from our good friends and our spouses is that they should at least take a couple of hours at a time so I know what to do. If I have no idea what mood a person's in, and they're constantly switching back and forth, one second they're crying, the next second they're laughing, and there are people who are like that, it just makes it difficult. You don't know what am I supposed to be saying? Am I supposed to be nice now? Am I supposed to be kidding? Can I be a little sarcastic? Can I ask you for something or not, right? You don't know what you're supposed to do if the other person is constantly changing their mood. Perhaps the reason why God tells us here, I'm going to give you a chunk of time, is so that we get a sense of what to do, of what he wants us to do, how he wants us to relate to us at a given time. Let me give you some examples. The simplest example is based on different times of the year. The Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Aseres Yemei Tshuva, God is merciful. Okay, he's awaiting our prayers. Dirshu Hashem Behimatso. You got to go look for him when he's around. What does it mean he's around during those 10 days? Does that mean he gets closer to us? How could he get closer? What do you mean? Was he further away before? What does that mean? How does God just put himself in a good mood for 10 days? Mishenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. Adar is a great month, right? Everything goes well. He's supposed to go for it, buy lottery tickets, go to court cases. Whatever you got to do, do it during Adar. Don't do it during Av, because in Av, God's in a bad mood. What does that mean? Is God moody? And how can he be moody on clockwork? Right? Based on the calendar. Even if you would somehow, in your wildest dream, imagine that God could get into a bad mood, how could he do that by clockwork? What does it mean? What it means is that God knows us. He made us. He knows that we need a certain time period to practice, to get into a pattern. God couldn't have a Yom HaTshuva, because we all know that we don't do well with only one day. It takes us quite a while to get into it. It takes us the whole Elul and then 10 days of Tishrei to sort of get into the right mood. We need to be able to do the same thing again and again and again. We need to be able to relate to him for the same way for a while. He wants us to relate to him with every facet of our personality. He wants us to find him in joy. He wants us to find him when we're down. He wants us to find him when we're feeling good about ourselves and when we're feeling bad about ourselves. But he understands that he's got to give us a chunk of time. So God says, this month, act towards me as if I'm in a good mood. You can't have one day of Purim. You can't just snap in and out. Act during this time as if I'm in a good mood. Act for this month, or these 10 days, these 90s, or these 3 weeks, like I'm judging you. And we do act differently. It is amazing. Almost any emotion we're able to direct towards God over the course of the Jewish calendar year. The calendar year, which is not the subject of this class, is the most amazing thing. Think of how many different things we do over the course of the year based on the calendar, and how many different ways we relate to Hashem. Think of Purim, think of Tisha B'Av, think of Rosh Hashanah, think of Pesach. It's unbelievable how many facets of our personality all get their moment in the sun, so to speak. They get to be used for God. Right? Sometimes we get to fast for God, sometimes we get to eat for God, sometimes we get to cry for God, sometimes we get to laugh for God. It's amazing. He gave us a lot of ways to relate to him, but he was nice enough to tell us to do it for this time period and to hold on that way. Don't do it just for 2 hours. Get into it. Really go for it. Really get sad. Really get happy. And that's what we do. That's what the Jewish calendar year is. God understood that if he didn't make a block of time, we would never get to use these emotions. We'd never relate to him in that way. Now, what's true in terms of the Jewish year is also true in terms of the times of the day. Now here you see this less. But you've all heard certain things. You've all heard that the right time to say Slichos is when? When's the right time to say Slichos? Huh? Not at 10 at night. The right time to say Slichos is after midnight, after halachic midnight, right? 12:50, whatever it is. Why? Because I'm just more tired then? So I just have to stay up and not sleep at all for several weeks? Why do I have to wait till what magically happens at 12:50 that now it's a good time to say slichos? And people are always wondering this. Most people don't daven then, but certainly at least those who daven the first night of slichos, they come in like, you know, why? What are we waiting for? We've been doing nothing since Shabbos ended. And some people do just, you know, 10 o'clock, they just get together and they say slichos. But no, we're told that it's better to say it after 12:50, and we wait, and we watch our watches, and then boom, now we start. We're told that at different times of the day, God wants us to relate to Him in different ways. We're told that after midnight is a time of rachamim. A special time of rachamim. We know, we've heard this perhaps, that mincha is an especially auspicious prayer. If you can nail mincha, oh, you're in good. Right? Eliyahu HaNavi was only answered at mincha. He stood out on the mountain the whole day. Had the whole thing with the mountain and the two altars, right, and the prophets of the Baal and Eliyahu. And it was only at mincha time that he offered his tefillah, and boom, the fire came out of Shemayim. Just the whole fact that we daven at specific times of the day should tell us something. The fact that we're not just supposed to daven sort of when we wake up and sort of when we go to sleep. But they have independent time. But no matter what my schedule is, I'm supposed to daven between X and Y. And then again, between A and B. What God is doing is the very same favor. He's telling us that at different times of the day, He wants us to relate to Him in different ways. He wants us over the course of a year, and even over the course of a day, to use everything we've got to find Him. But how are we supposed to know what to do? So that's why we need the Ramchal. Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato. Okay? Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato in the Sefer Derech Hashem. Okay, Derech Hashem is the easiest book that you'll never understand. Okay? Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan was nice enough to write a translation, a really, really good translation of this book into English. And one of the publishing houses even thought to make it a little pocketbook, one of those little books that you can carry around, Derech Hashem. So here you have like the whole Kabbalah in your pocket. And you have, and it just reads like a novel. You know, God is moving this and the constellations go here and God, and you read the whole book. And at the end of it, you think you understand everything, and you couldn't possibly, me and myself included, couldn't possibly have understood what the Ramchal is talking about. I don't think that Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, when he wrote Derech Hashem, imagined it in a pocket-size translated form. It's basically Kabbalah put into as simple terms as he can, but it's still stuff that's berumo shalom, it's still very difficult stuff. We're going to understand it as best as we can. I can't promise this is the most authoritative reading of Ramchal. I'm just not old enough yet. Someday I'll get there, I'll try to study the Kabbalah stuff too. But this is what the Ramchal seems to be saying. The Hine, Sam Shtei Mitziyot Chazakim. Hine, behold, God has made two Mitziyot, two different ways, two different things. Very powerful. Shehem ha'or v'ha'choshech. God created light and darkness. Nimshachim mibchinat ha'hara v'ha'helem. And those two forces, those two powers, those two things, light and darkness, somehow originate in ha'ara and he'elam. Ha'ara means, from the word or, when God is casting His light upon the world, when God is looking at the world, right? We say this in Birchas Kohanim. Ya'er Hashem panav elecha. May He shine His countenance on you. What in the world does that mean? It means that when somebody's looking at you, they're paying very close attention to you. The face of God is, of course, light. It's lit up. So when we speak of light, we speak of God being very obvious, being very there, taking care of our every need in a way that we understand it. He'elam is when He is hidden. The word olam, by the way, the world, is a place where God hides. That's why it's called olam. the olam is something God created, so if we wanted to, we could pretend he's not there. It looks like it's a physical world. Light and darkness, say the Ramchal, represents these two different aspects of God. When Hashem faces us or gives us attention, the result is bracha. That's what we call or. Choshech is the lack of special attention. You should know that the bracha that we say in the morning, Yotzer Or Vore Choshech, Oseh Shalom, right? And we say Uboreas Hakol. That's not really the pasuk. The pasuk really says Yotzer Or Uvore Choshech, Oseh Shalom Uboreas Hara, who created the evil. Okay, we don't say that every morning like that. But that's what the pasuk says. Or is Shalom, Shalem, complete. Everything is taken care of. Choshech is Ra. Right? Says the Ramchal, God put into this world two very powerful forces. The first thing he bothered to put into this world were two forces that represent two very different ways that he can relate to the world. The Sefer Das Tfila, which is a Sefer, again, we'll quote a number of times, the Sefer Das Tfila suggests how amazing it is that the most simple thing in the whole world, whether it's light outside or it's dark outside, represents the most fundamentally deep thing in the whole world, whether God right now is pouring his goodness on the world or he's being a little bit hidden and he's being a little come and find me. The most simple thing in the whole world, which nobody thinks about, is there to tell us what God wants from us at those times of the day. And God didn't bother to put this inside some little box. He put it up there in the sky. He put it someplace that no matter where you are in the whole world, you can't miss it. It's like a red light, a green light, like a big traffic light in Shemayim, saying right now God is, or at least view God as putting his chesed into the world. Right now view him as being hidden. There couldn't be a more obvious sign. There couldn't be something that's more visible by any human being at any moment than this. And says the Ramchal, it's not just that when the times of the day change, it happens to be, God also could have done a fireworks show, and that also would have gotten us to notice him. No. By making sometimes light and sometimes dark, he's not just saying, notice me. He's saying, notice what I'm thinking right now. Sometime representing chesed, sometime representing something which is the opposite. However, as we started with, there aren't two different times during the day. There are three. Think about it. You have the morning. In the morning, what's happening with the sun? What's happening with the light? It's coming up. And as the morning develops, what happens? More and more. We have a certain portion of our day where the light is getting stronger and stronger. We have a certain part of our day where the light is being taken away. And then we have a certain part of our day where there's no light at all. Say to Bali Machshava, this represents three different ways that God wants us to relate to. The morning is about chesed. Chesed, that he just showers us with good. I mean, I don't know whether we deserved it overnight. We were just sleeping overnight. We didn't do anything. And we get up and the whole world looks wonderful again. That's chesed. And he's pouring it on more and more and more. Chesed, light, light, light. Everything's wonderful. What do you call it when he takes the thing that we had, all those good things, and he starts to take them away? What would you call that? Either onesh or just din. Judgment. Right? The afternoon is a pretty tough time. You're watching the sun leave. Now, mind you, in our society, the sun never leaves because it's on 24 hours a day up above our heads. But in an agricultural society, without electricity, you're racing against the clock. You really don't want. You want to pull a Yehoshua every day you can. You would work more hours if you could, but the sun just goes down and that's it. So you see this wonderful gift, and then in the afternoon the gift begins to be taken away. And it's especially noticeable at the end, right? It isn't so noticeable at 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock. But come 5:30, 6 o'clock, you notice that that which you had is being taken away. And then there's a time where there's just nothing there at all. You aren't being showered with a gift, but it also isn't being taken away in a harsh manner. What do we call a time when we view God as neither punishing us nor rewarding us, but just we don't know where he is right now? Hester Punnett. I think that's amazing. The three times of the day represent three totally different ways that God relates to us. The morning is about chesed. The afternoon is about din. And the night is Hester Punnett. The night is when you don't see God at all.
I don't understand why you think
this. So that we'll have to eventually get to. That's a good question. Right? If in fact the night is a time of Hester Panim, why would we say Slichos? And if the night is one time period, then who cares when you say it? Once you say it after dark, who should care? It's a good question. That's the first great question that's going to tell us there's something wrong with our theory at the end. Our theory is not going to exactly match up until we get to the second half of these classes this semester. But yes, there's something a little bit off there. There seems to be midnight we're not accounting for. Yes? So there's something up there, but certainly it's dark. Right? The Ramchal said it's more a question of darkness than light. Our three tefillos represent these changing mitos. Did you ever think about the pasuk, Lahagid baboker chazdecha, ve'emunascha palelos? Why does the pasuk say lahagid baboker chazdecha? In the morning we talk about your chesed, and at night we talk about faith. At night we talk about the fact. What does it mean? Ve'emunascha, by the way, it doesn't say our emuna, your emuna. What does it mean that God is faithful? I hope you know that, because you say that every morning when you get up. Right? You brought me back my neshama b'chemla, rabah emunasecha. Your emuna is strong. It's no big deal to believe in God if you're God. What are we telling him every morning? Emuna means to be consistent. Faithful, not in the sense of having faith in, but always being there. Someone you can count on. Now I understand what that pasuk means. Lahagid baboker chazdecha. You get up in the morning, and you're driven to talk about the chesed of Hashem, because you see it all around you. At night, all you've got left is to rely on the faithfulness of God. As the Yerushalmi told us, just like you last night brought me from darkness to light, so too I hope that tonight you'll bring me from darkness to light again. I'm not going to talk about God's chesed at night. At least I'm not going to go overboard with it. Instead, I'm going to express the fact that I hope that he brings me to the next day. We relate to Hashem through our tefillos in the way that Hashem is relating to us at those times. Shachris, think about it, is very long. It contains a lot of praise for Hashem. It has Psukei Dezimra. We say, HaGomel Chasadim Tovim L'Amo Yisrael. You do wonderful things for the Jewish people. Right? There's no better time to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu when nature comes magically back. In Mincha, it's a time of din. That's why Mincha is so short. When you're being judged, when you're being punished, you're not going to come up and start praising the one that's punished. You may have a lot to praise, and you may understand that it's fair that you're being punished, but you just get in what you say, and that's all. The skula, by the way, of Mincha is to be zocha b'din. Is to be found meritorious even at a time of judgment. In the morning, if your tefillos are answered in the morning, it doesn't mean anything. God is just giving handouts in the morning. Mincha is a time which is reserved for din. You get it if you deserve it. If you can pull off a successful Shmona Esrei in the afternoon, if God listens to you, then it's because you actually deserved it, and you can hit a home run at that point. Okay, it doesn't mean it's easier to daven at mincha. When we say mincha is a special time for tefillah, it means it's a harder time to daven. But if you can succeed then, you'll go very far. And then there's Ma'ariv. Ma'ariv, we're not being punished anymore. It's night. So we can once again have some praise. But the praise is muted. The brachos of Kriya Shema get shorter. We trust, but we cannot see. Instead of saying MS V'yatsiv, you're true and it's established and it's inscribed, it's written in, it's carved. Now I say MS V'emuna. That's why that bracha changes. Because I'm not speaking of all the great chasadim that Hashem did for us at night. Or if I'm recollecting them, I'm only recollecting them to show that just like I thought that you protected us then, so too you'll protect us in the future. That's why there's another bracha of the Kriya Shema at night. It's not enough at night just to say Ga'al Yisrael. Yes, you saved the Jewish people. In the morning is the time of Chesed. Things are great. And you've been doing this for years. Thank you very much. At night, I don't know where you are. It represents the times of Hester Panim. I can't just say Ga'al Yisrael. Very nice. Ga'al Yisrael, in the past, you redeemed us. I have to say Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad. Protect us now forever. That's exactly the pattern of the different tefillos that we daven. They are different because they represent different ways to relate to Hashem.
So why do we have
bakashas
that hold everything?
What?
Why do we have bakashas that hold everything?
Because we still need him for everything. Right? Even if a parent is mad at me, we've all had that situation where somebody, usually a parent, is mad at me, but I still need money today. So I have to go to them, but I'm not going to go to them and say, hey, I'm going to say, you know, okay, I need $10. Sorry, I need $20. Right? You need it. You need the keys to the car. You got to go. But they're mad at you. Right? So you still need him, even at the time that he's punishing. Right? You have to request. You need him for everything. That's the message of Shmoneh Esrei. Yeah, in the back. Sorry.
So then why on Yom Kippur?
Ah, Yom Kippur, we'll get there. Okay, no way. Yeah. Okay? Each tefillah is designed to relate to God in a different way. Chakras to relate to the chesed of God. Mincha to relate to God in a time of din. And Ma'ariv to relate to him at a time of Hester Panim. Okay? Now, by the way, why would we say Slichos at night? I'm going to begin to answer the question. Why is night? Night is Hester Panim. Hester Panim is bad, no? Well, Hester Panim has its advantages. If you look at the dance that God plays with the Jewish people in the desert, there's this tension between God wanting to really be really, really close to the people and this sense that if he's too close and they still mess up, he has to destroy them. That's really what happens after the Chet HaEgel. What God basically, that whole give and take with Moshe Rabbeinu, the whole introduction of the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim, is God basically saying, we can't be on top of each other like that. I can't run my relationship with the Jewish people so close. Hester Panim allows for a little bit of Rachamim. Rachamim basically says, I'm not going to give you a freebie. It's not chesed. But you can't survive din all the time either. In fact, in the thoughts of the Balei Machshava, this third midah, Hester Panim, Din, is Hester Panim or Rachamim, is not really a third midah. It's a combination of the first two. There's Chesed, just anything you want, Gevaldik, and there's Din, no, only if you deserve it. Rachamim is somewhere in the middle. Rachamim is not handouts. It has to relate to stuff you did. You got to try. You got to ask. But I can't hold you to a standard that you're not going to be able to live by. Okay? The three tefillos represent these three different ways of relating to Hashem. And if you haven't figured out, these three midos, chesed, din, and a little bit of distance, rachamim, hester panim, is exactly the three ways that we spoke of relating to Hashem. Av, father is a father of chesed, a father who basically is just giving us. He just wants us to have everything. We don't necessarily deserve things we get from our parents, although we, you know, sometimes forget that. They just give us stuff. A king goes by the letter of the law, goes by din. And a kel hakadosh is removed. We don't understand what he is. There's a certain amount of hester panim, which might allow for some rachamim. Sometimes a little space between two parties is good. But it's still space. It's still something we can't understand. So therefore, I would leave you today and for Yom Tov with the following suggestion, which I promise I'll continue to try to prove. It's not just that the three tefillos of the day are designed differently. Because there's one tefillah that barely changes at all, and that's the Shemoneh Esrei, and that's the main tefillah. I would ask you, if the rabbis were so into this idea that in the morning we should relate to him one way, in the afternoon we should make davening another way, and at night he has to be hest upon him, why didn't they touch the main tefillah? Why just make the Birchas Kriya Shema a little longer? Why not touch the main thing? We all know it's all about the Shemoneh Esrei. The answer, I believe, is that though the requests may be the same, though the things we need from Hashem are exactly the same, the very nature of the tefillos is begging us to pray to Him in different ways, at different times of the day. It's not just that at chakras I should say Psukei Dezimra, and I should say a long bracha of Kriya Shema, and I should say Emes V'Yatziv. It's that when I finally get up to the main point, when I get up to Shemoneh Esrei, I should focus on that first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei and say, this is the main way I'm relating to Hashem in the morning. I'm relating to you as my father. When I daven shacharis, I should daven it like I'm davening to my father. And I should tell him, this is what I need today. You didn't give it to me yesterday. I'm not sure why. I really need this from you. In the afternoon, we should take a cue from the fact that davening is so short. And we should stand before him. It's the same words. The needs are the same. But we should stand before him like we're standing before a king. Afraid, head down a little more, right? Wondering if we're going to deserve it, feeling privileged that we at least get to ask. And at night, when the whole Shemoneh Esrei, when the whole davening is about emuna and about belief, you only believe in something you don't know. You can't believe there's a cassette player on the table. We speak of emuna when we're at a time where we're just not sure. The night would seem to be a time to focus on the third bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, on Hakel HaKadosh, and to try to relate to him in that.